through it tonight. So as I say, we've been working through the life of Peter, and I found it really interesting looking at this character study and seeing just a bit more about this man through the Gospels. Of course, he was a man who displayed great faith, one of Jesus' closest disciples, someone who left everything to follow Jesus. He left his nets as he went off to follow him and catch men instead of fish. But as we've seen this glimpse into Peter's life, we've seen that he certainly wasn't perfect. In fact, he so often got the wrong end of the stick. As he spoke out of turn, he stuck his foot in it so often, made rash decisions. He failed to understand how Jesus would fulfill his mission as the Christ, and even tried to rebuke Jesus for talking about the necessity of his suffering and his death. But if we were to look back on our own Christian lives, I'm sure we would have much that we would be embarrassed about. There would be times when we've said the wrong thing, or we've lived the wrong way, or we've failed to take a stand for Christ like we should. But isn't it great to know that God's not finished with us yet? And that by his Spirit, God continues to work in us to make us more like Jesus day by day. And so as we're rounding off this series, and Peter, I want to take a look at this passage from his letter here. Because in this letter, we see the extent to which Peter's life has been changed by Christ over the years, how he's matured, how he's grown to a greater understanding of Christ's work. No longer is he seeking to avoid suffering, but in this letter, he's actually encouraging believers to rejoice in their persecution. Because through Christ's death and resurrection, he's saying that they have a great hope and there's a glory to come that will last forever. So as we look at this passage tonight, we're going to be thinking about the suffering that will come to us as Christians and how we should respond in that. So from verses 12 to 14, if you look at them first, we see the joy and blessing of suffering for Christ. Last week, or maybe it was the week before, you might have seen some pictures of a man standing outside the health center in cold rain with red paint running down his face and his clothes. As he and some other Christians were making clear what the Bible teaches about abortion, the murder of babies, someone confronted him and threw paint on this Christian man in cold rain. It's an awful thing to do to anyone, regardless of whether you agree or disagree with them. But I have to say, I was shocked to see this happen in cold rain. Maybe you're shocked if you're hearing that for the first time tonight. But look what Peter says here in verse 12. Do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. Yes, a reaction to such incidents as disgust like this against Christians. But it shouldn't come as one of shock or surprise to us. We're to expect opposition and hostility from the world. Jesus made that clear himself in John 15. He warned his disciples that the world would hate them because they're not of the world. The world hated Jesus and put him to death, and so his followers should not expect anything different. Previously, as I mentioned at the start in Mark 8, we heard about how Peter had pulled Jesus aside and he rebuked him for talk of persecution, of hardship. But now he is accepting that this will come to those who are truly living for Christ. There's such a change in his life here, in his attitude. And he even goes further than just accepting it. He says that we are to rejoice and be glad in it. Not because we're to become sort of masochists who likes pain or enjoys pain, but because in that we are sharing in Christ's sufferings. Back in chapter 1, verse 7 of this letter, Peter talks about the various trials which prove how genuine your faith is. And so if you're suffering for the sake of Christ and have taken a stand for him, then you have shown that you are truly one of his disciples. In Acts chapter 5, we have a story of the apostles being arrested for sharing the good news of Christ. And because of that, they were beaten. They were flogged for spreading that message. But listen to what it says in verse 41 at that time. It said that they were rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for his name. They were rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer. Of course, it's not easy to endure. It's not easy to suffer. But they knew it wasn't easy for Christ to endure what he endured or to suffer what he suffered. And so in following him, even through suffering, we can rejoice that we are counted worthy to truly be one of his followers, one of his disciples. And so often it is through such times of hardship that we're drawn ever closer to the Lord. We're reminded of what he has gone through as we bear that pain ourselves. And it's also in these times that we're reminded and we look forward to what's to come after this, because we know that that by continuing through to the end of these trials, that there is the hope of the glory that's to come, whenever there will be no more pain and no more suffering. In John 16, Jesus used the example of the pain of a woman giving birth. Now, I'm not a woman, and I have not given birth, so I will not try to say I know how painful that is. But however painful or however difficult the labor is, it's quickly forgotten about whenever the mother has the joy of holding that newborn baby in their arms. And you see, for those who are trusting in Christ through various trials, we can continue through the pain and the anguish with the joy of knowing that there's a new creation to come. When with Christ in glory, there will be no more trials, no more suffering, no more pain anymore. Maybe as you're thinking of that, you're thinking, well, that's still a hard ask. You know, even though we know that this is ahead, even though we know there's a hope of a reward, this is difficult. How are we going to continue through such times when we're insulted with names, or times when we're ridiculed, or times when we're physically abused, or even have paint thrown at us? How can we do that? Look what Peter says in verse 14. That we are blessed because the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. See, we have not been abandoned. We're not left to go through such times on our own strength, because as believers, God the Holy Spirit is with us. And through these times of insult or hardship, the presence and help and the power of the Holy Spirit is even more evident in our lives as we are helped through those times. See, knowing that God is present with us is a great blessing. As even through these times, we're experiencing some of the glory that's going to come in the future. But as we've been thinking about sharing in Christ's sufferings here, I wonder how many of us could say that we have actually really suffered much for Christ. You know, we can easily live a comfortable life amongst fellow Presbyterians here in Drumrea. We can keep ourselves to ourselves, and we'll get through life maybe not too badly. But if we are truly living for Christ, if we are seeking to make him known, boldly proclaiming God's word with others in the world around us, well, then we are certain that will bring hostility. It will bring insult. It will bring opposition. And so often it's because we are not stepping out, we are not taking that bold step to live for Christ and make him known, that we just live these comfortable lives. I wonder, are we willing to step? Are we willing to step out? Are we willing to live for Christ more boldly? Not afraid of what may come because of that. Because we know that no matter what we face, we can rejoice when we share in the sufferings of Christ. So we move on to verses 15 and 16. Peter then calls for us to consider if our suffering is glorifying to Christ. We're to consider if our suffering is glorifying to Christ. Sometimes we can be very quick to say that we're hard done to. We like to give a wee moan maybe now and again. And we live in times when people can very easily take offense. They very quickly play the victim card. And even as Christians, we can try to say that we've been victimized, we're being persecuted, whenever actually that's not the case at all. Peter is saying here that not all suffering of Christians is because of persecution. Sometimes people will face hardships as a result of their own stupidity or their sinfulness. See, he's saying here, look, if you're going to punishment. He talks about meddling in someone else's business, and maybe that doesn't sound as serious as these other things, but it is also listed here. Because if you're going to hassle somebody, if you're going to stick your nose in and you're going to bother them, and of course people are going to react against that. They're not going to be happy with that. They're going to respond in a way that's not very kind. That's a bit like waving a red flag to a bull when you start to meddle and bother people like that. And so you can't turn around and cry persecution for the sake of Christ whenever that certainly is not the case in these circumstances or others like it. See, living in these ways and saying you're facing hardship in these circumstances, it's not glorifying to Christ. Because even if you face the punishment you deserve, this kind of suffering is not a witness to Christ's sufferings. It's not the same. Because his suffering was unjust, it was undeserved. He was completely innocent, he was completely without sin, and yet he endured the insults and the agony and went right to the point of death on a cross. He was treated like a criminal, even though he never did anything wrong. And so Peter is calling for us to distinguish between what replicates the unjust suffering of Christ and what is actually a result of our own doing and our own sinfulness. See, it's only when we endure suffering because we bear Christ's name and because we've taken a stand for him that he will be glorified in it. And that's why Peter's using the name Christian here. This is only one of three occasions in the New Testament where the word Christian is used. But in those days, it wasn't viewed in the same way we would use that word today or we would understand it. It was actually a derogatory term. It was as though they were slagging the believers off by calling them a Christian. It was making fun of them. But Peter's saying that when you face such ridicule, and even when you suffer for bearing that name of Jesus, well, then you don't need to be ashamed. We ought to be remaining faithful and true and following our Savior and our Lord, remembering what he endured for us. But I'm sure as Peter was writing this, he was very conscious of how he had been ashamed of Jesus. We heard about that last week and how he was challenged by that servant girl in the courtyard. At that point when Jesus was undergoing that trial, when he has been accused of things that he had never done, Peter denied Jesus. He said he didn't know him three times. He even cursed against him. You see, being confronted with his shame and then knowing and being reminded of the love of Jesus, as we saw last week, there was a change that came about in Peter. And as you start to read through the Acts of the Apostles from Pentecost on, we see how Peter boldly proclaimed the message of Christ to many people. He did it even in the face of persecution and risk of death. He was not ashamed of what others would say about him following Jesus. He didn't try to avoid hardship, but he continued to be a faithful witness of Christ through it all, seeking to bring glory to the name of Jesus. We are also called to live faithful lives for Christ today. See, if we've been saved by the Lord Jesus, then we bear that name Christian. And if we bear that name Christian, then we are called to glory in that name. We're called to glorify the Lord Jesus, even in suffering for his sake. But of course, it's not easy to live that out in this world. I know I've failed many times. I know I've been ashamed of bearing the name of Jesus. You know, sometimes I've been scared of ridicule, scared of what might happen if we speak out or if we say something in a certain circumstance. See, it's becoming more difficult to bear the name of Jesus in the world today. It's difficult to hold firm to what the Bible teaches. We've been told it's outdated, it's irrelevant. It's even classed as hate speech by some people when you quote Scripture. And maybe there will come a day, maybe not in the too distant future, we'll be arrested or attacked for preaching the good news of Jesus Christ. I wonder, are we ready for that? We must remember that this is nothing new. We can look around and say, oh, you know, things aren't what they used to be. This world's getting worse. But actually, in the days of Peter, in the days of the early church, in the days of Jesus, the world hated Jesus and his followers for speaking the truth. And it's the same today. People hate Christians for speaking the truth, for making the gospel known, for proclaiming God's word. And so we must expect this is going to come to us also. So let's not be ashamed in that. Let us stand firm and show that we believe this message of Christ to be the truth. Let's live it out in our lives and bring glory to his name. Finally then, we see that we must commit our lives to God through suffering. There are times when we have to entrust something to the care of others. I was thinking about whenever Laura and I would maybe be going out and we have to leave the children with someone else for maybe going out somewhere for a particular occasion. But we need to get somebody to look after the children. That we don't just go out to the street or look for some randomer to look after them. That'd be rather foolish, wouldn't it? You see, we have to leave them with someone who we trust, maybe a grandparent or someone who we know who will truly care for them, truly look after them, keep them safe and protect them. We entrust them into the care of these people for our children's safekeeping. In verse 19, Peter says, "Let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good." See, in the midst of suffering for the sake of Christ, we're to entrust our lives fully into the hands of God. Peter describes him here as a faithful Creator, because in remembering God as a Creator, we think of the one who made all things, the one who continues to hold all things together. As a Creator, he's the one who provides all that we need. He's the one who has shown faithfulness to his creations throughout all of time since he spoke it into being. And of course, that will continue right into the new creation, what it is to come. And so he is the only one who we need to entrust our lives into. Instead of running from him and suffering, we want to run to him. We want to commit ourselves fully to him. Because did you notice that this suffering is according to God's will? God is the one who is bringing all this about. The fiery trials that come are not something random. They're not because God has lost control. No, he has a purpose in this, a purpose for bringing his people through these. And so when we know that he's got a purpose, we know that we must commit ourselves to that purpose, knowing that he is faithful, knowing that he will do what is right, what is best for us as his people. And as we think about that and trusting ourselves to the Lord, I think it becomes even more clear when we relate it to verse 17 and 18, which speaks of judgment. Peter talks about judgment beginning with God's house, and it seems here that he's referring back to Malachi chapter 3, because there Malachi talks about the appearing of the Messiah at the temple. In that passage, he speaks about a refiner's fire which will purify God's people. But in Malachi, he also speaks about the judgment that's to come against the wicked, because the same fire which purifies God's people will also consume the ungodly and the wicked. Peter had already spoken of this fire in chapter 1 of his letter. But it is good to keep in mind that when we suffer for the sake of Christ, we can rejoice and we can glorify him, because we know that God is bringing about his purpose. As followers of Christ, we ought to have that desire to become more like him. We want to be pure in our hearts and in our lives, in the things we think and the way that we speak and the way that we act. And although it's not easy to continue through trials, God is working in those situations and through them to bring about good for us, to bring about his glory. And I find that really helpful to know that, because even if we're not going through these times at this present time, even though we're not enduring such hardship or opposition or attacks like this, we know that when they do come and when they will come, we can entrust our lives to the Lord through it, knowing that he knows what he is doing. There also is a heavy reminder here for those who have not received Christ in the gospel. The fire that comes to them is not a refining fire. It's not one that will make them pure or more precious in Christ. No, that fire will come down on the ungodly in the final judgment day, as they will experience the full wrath of God. You see, any suffering or hardship that we face living as Christians now will not come anywhere close to what the wicked will face in that final day. And surely that reinforces how much we need to entrust our lives to Christ now. We need to commit them fully to the Lord, trusting in Him as our Savior and our Lord, knowing that in Him we are safe and secure now and forever. And as we continue in Him, we will one day enter into His final glory, when we will experience that fullness of joy in that place. As we come to prayer tonight, we pray that the church and each of us here would not be taken by surprise that we will face trials, we will face hardships and opposition from the world. We must be ready. We must be prepared as we go out through those doors into the world around us. Because as we think even of Jesus and how He was innocent, He suffered to the point of death for us. And so as His followers, may we rejoice and may we count it as a privilege to be considered worthy to share in His suffering, the suffering that Christ went through for us. So let's fully entrust ourselves to the Lord. Let's commit our lives to Him as we trust that He will bring about His purposes for His glory, even through fiery trials, even through hardship, because He is preparing His people for the glory to come. Let's pray.